Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, Friday afternoon, free for all Friday. You know, there's this thing going around X and also TikTok. And the question is, could a silverback gorilla beat 100 average men in a fight? I think the gorilla would win. And we did a quick text off of our audience, and the audience agreed the gorilla would win. But I mean, look, there's an argument for 100 average men making it a fight. But I think ultimately the gorilla would win. I'm Scoot on the air. It is Free for All Friday. And remember Monday, I mentioned that don't worry about it being Monday. It's going to be Friday before you know it. And a lot is going on. This is the final weekend of Jazz Fest, and we're going to continue to play some of the artists who are performing at Jazz Fest today and this weekend on our show this afternoon. Also, there's a swingers club in Plymouth, Connecticut, and the problem is they're a few feet away from a Baptist church, and the people don't like this. And so there is now a zoning code that is in effect that is allowing the city to force the swingers club to move. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, when is church in session? Sunday morning. A Baptist church has church Sunday morning. If there are any people at the swingers club on a Sunday morning, they're left over from Saturday night. And they're not going to be out there recruiting anybody. Apparently, the church and the swingers club share a parking lot. But I mean, if you're at a swingers club Sunday morning from Saturday night, I mean, you're exhausted. You're not looking for anybody new to, you know, hook up with. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of a big deal about nothing, but I think it's the principle of the thing about what goes on in that building. The point is, you know, people need to stop trying to tell other people how to lead their lives. And if you've never been to a swingers club, if you don't know anything about a swingers club, or if you don't know anything about the people who go to a swingers club, then don't be so harsh to judge people who are into that. It might not be your thing, and I'm not trying to talk you into that or say it should be your thing. It's not for everybody. But for some people, it's part of their life. It is a lifestyle. And they like it. In some cases, they say it's enhanced their marriage. But look, this has to be a really special thing for special people. And I don't want to go into details about that. But I simply want to say that if you don't know about this, then don't be so quick to judge the people who go to swingers clubs, because they're not who you think. They're not the kind of people you think. They're not out there trying to recruit people. So they're not going to go into the church and say, hey, come over here. Come over here. Plus, again, the swingers club, that's going to be happening when the church is not even in session. But the reverend of the Riverside Baptist Church, Reverend David Townsley, says, quote, just leave everybody alone. We don't want you here. Well, you know, if your philosophy is leave everybody alone, then leave them alone. The idea that you don't want somebody because you don't want them there because sin is going on in that building. There's sin going on everywhere. Sin is all around that church. Sin is around every single church in this country. You can't wipe out sin. It'd be nice if you could, but you can't. And then the other problem is, what is a sin to you? It's not a sin to somebody else. And it's not for you to decide what is a sin to somebody else. So, you know, I'm not surprised that this is happening, but I think it's kind of a big deal about nothing. The Swingers Club is called Wicked Fun. And by the way, you know, nobody's forced to do anything in these clubs. It's all, if you want to, it's all consensual. It's all, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you don't want to do anything at all, if you just want to go and be part of, because in the good clubs, there's a big social scene. You know, like there's a live band, there's sometimes a buffet dinner, tables of people. It's like a big party. And then there are other places within the party where you can, you know, go do things. Anyway, so it's just an interesting story, but it really does amount to, we don't like the idea that sin is going on in that building, so we want those people out of there. All right, so her name is Blaine Anderson. She's a professional dating coach. She conducted a survey among 10,000 women across the U.S. and the U.K. She found one thing that the women agree on. She says women want men to approach them. And I don't get that impression, because I think a lot of women have like this wall up. I don't blame them for having a wall up, because, you know, guys are sometimes really dumb, and guys say dumb things, and guys, you know, try to pick up women. And you know, especially attractive women get hit on all the time. And I'm reluctant sometimes to, if I'm in the elevator, especially alone with an attractive female, I don't even want to say anything. I don't even want to say, hi, how you doing? And I might say that to somebody else. I mean, not always, but I might say that to somebody else. But the reason I don't want to say it to an attractive woman is I'm afraid she's going to think I'm trying to pick her up. And I'm not. I'm just being nice. But I don't blame attractive women for having a guard up. But if you're a woman, if you're a single woman, is it true you would like more men to approach you? I guess anywhere. It doesn't say in a specific place, but I mean, just you want more men to approach you. Is that true? You know, I see, if you're on the prowl and you're looking for somebody to, you know, be part of your life, should men start approaching women? If you're a guy, is this the message that you get, that 95% of the single women want you to approach them more? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. This kind of took me by surprise, because I don't get that impression. I think a lot of women just seem to have this guard up. And, you know, sometimes you can see women in public or in a bar in a situation like that, where they're out and maybe vulnerable to somebody coming up to them. And it's like they just kind of give off this vibe that they don't want you to talk to them. The other reason guys don't want to talk to women is they're afraid of rejection. And I know that there are people who say, well, if you talk to enough women, on average, you're going to find somebody who might be interested. It's kind of like the theory of sales calls. You know, if you're afraid of rejection, you don't make any sales calls. You can't be afraid of rejection. If you make 10 sales calls and you get one sale, well, it might be worth it. But if you're afraid of rejection, you can't even go on sales calls. So, you know, people who are in sales, you know, they have to be brave, and they have to be able to accept rejection. So do you think this person is right? 75% of single women want men to approach you. And if you're a woman, do you want more men to approach you? Here's something else I want to add to this. What is the dumbest pickup line a guy has said to you? Because there's some dumb lines out there, and some guys have actually used them. I mean, I was never good at this. You know, when I was single, I was never good at this. And I never knew what to say to a woman. So generally speaking, I didn't say anything. Now, you know, a little bit later in my life, when, you know, I was reaching a point of success in my career and people knew who I was, I had women come to me and talk to me, which was really, really nice because I am so intrinsically shy that I don't know what to say to women. I don't want to talk to them. And I have no good pickup line, and I never had a good pickup line. So what is a terrible pickup line? And do you agree with this survey? The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Before you get to some of the text, Ian, when you have been single, did you get the impression that single women want you to approach them?
No.
Yeah, I don't get that impression either.
Hang on, I can't hear myself.
I can hear you fine.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm just messing around with some of the settings in here because when you, it doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. I'm doing this show and you're just playing around with the board?
I'm not playing around. I'm trying to fix a problem.
Okay,
right,
good.
Right now, okay. when you're talking back to me, when you're not on the air, it mutes everything else, which is not good because I can't hear what's happening on the air. I can't hear what's going on the computer. No. So, and you know, this spaceship console that we got has all these beeps and boops. I haven't quite figured out how to use it.
Yeah, well, Ian's still a learning curve, you know.
No, I didn't get the impression that women were like standing around waiting for me to talk to them. No.
Yeah. Did you have a good pickup line? I mean, if you saw a woman that you felt like you wanted to meet and maybe you made eye contact, was there, when I say pickup line, I mean, I don't mean a line per se, but was there a good way to open the conversation?
You talk about something innocuous and make them laugh. Yeah. That would be my try, but I haven't been in a situation where I was like looking around the room thinking like, I'm going to try and pick up a woman in here tonight. And most of this stuff happens online anyway. You know, I was having drinks with a friend last night who's dating and using all the dating apps. And I mean, you really got to think of how you're going to economically get this woman to pay attention to you on the app when there's 100 other guys that are, you know, right behind you.
I wonder, you know, we can talk about that as well. What about the dating apps? And if you're a woman, I mean, isn't it true that guys lie to you and they say something and then you meet them and they're totally different? I mean, I know somebody who was actively involved in this and he would tell me what he would post. And I go, dude, I mean, you're crazy for doing this. I mean, the women are going to meet you and they're going to know you're not what you say you are. So why would you even put this out there? And he never, ever went on two dates. He went on a bunch of dates, but man, it was only one date. It was because of the BS that he was posting. So, you know, again, what about the dating sites? Do men lie? Do women lie? Who lies more? And have you met somebody on a dating site? And how do you break through all of the BS that's on those dating sites? I mean, what do you put on there? I mean, I like to read. You know, I'm a homebody. You know, I mean, I think first of all, I think you have to be totally honest with whoever you're trying to communicate with. Be totally honest about yourself. And that's the first step. And I would hope that people on the other end could pick out your honesty. Let's go to a couple of the text messages.
I'll be quick here. I do have a lot of guerrilla texts I want to get to, but I'll give you a couple of these pickup lines. Here's one that says, my name is George and I live with my mother.
That's funny. That's from Seinfeld. My name is George. I live with my mother. That's funny.
Some of these are not quite safe for work.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Here's one that says, best pickup line ever. That must have hurt. What are you talking about? When you fell from heaven.
Oh, dear God. I mean, has anybody ever really used that? I mean, that is so dumb. I mean, that is so obsequious. It
sounds impossible that in this day and age, somebody would walk up to a woman that they don't know and say one of these things and think that that's going to end with anything else except a drink in their face. But these are the kind of like punny jokes that people are also trying when you're trying to make this opening salvo, like via text. You know, it's like you swipe right on somebody. And then, you know, they match and then you're supposed to make the first move unless it's Bumble and then they got to do that. But it's like, what are you going to say? You either got to compliment something about their profile or you got to just pull a joke out of thin air. But that doesn't work. You can't just offer a joke with no context. I mean,
all right. Does anybody have any advice? Does anybody have any advice on if you're on a dating site, does anybody have any advice on what to first post to try to get somebody's attention? If you're a woman, what should a guy post? What would get your attention? And if you're a guy, what do you think you could post that would get somebody's attention? All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll talk about this a little bit this afternoon. And also, I want to get to those texts about the gorillas. All right, what stage is this going to be on? It's going to be on the festival stage. Pearl Jam tomorrow, 5 o'clock, a two-hour set, Pearl Jam on the festival stage at Jazz Fest. That is going to be an epic afternoon. And seeing Pearl Jam at Jazz Fest in a festival setting like that. I mean, I saw Pearl Jam at a festival setting in Seattle, you know, basically where they were from. And that was like really awesome. But to see Pearl Jam in a festival setting like that, it's going to remind you of those grunge days. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
I want to see if you recognize this person. This is a cover of a song from the 80s. See if you recognize who this is. Very, very famous person from New Orleans doing a cover of an 80s song. Do you recognize this voice? Many of you know him because he played at your proms. He played at the Sands on Jefferson Highway. He was all over. That is Deacon John of Deacon John and the Ivories. He did a cover of the Crowded House song, Don't Dream It's Over, and Deacon John joins us on WWL. Deacon John, good afternoon.
And good evening.
Good evening. And Deacon John's going to be on in the blues tent tomorrow afternoon at 2:45 at Jazz Fest. Deacon, you've been at every Jazz Fest, haven't you?
Everyone since they started in Congo Square before they moved to the fairgrounds. Wow. I even played for Quint Davis' prom.
Wow. Deacon, you are such a legend. I was too young to go to many.
I'm a legend in my own mind.
No, man, you're a legend. You are a legend. You know, there were in the very beginning, I was too young to get into the places where you were playing, but I so wanted to go see you. And when I got older, I was able to see you. But when I first wanted to see you, I was too young to get into the places.
Well, I was so much older then.
But you're so much younger now.
I'm younger than that now.
Yeah, so, you know, it's got to be thrilling at this point in your life to still be doing Jazz Fest, to still see the crowd out there, to still see people coming out and loving you. And you've got a great voice, and you still have a great voice.
Yeah, well, it's just a blessing from the Creator, you know, that I'm still able to perform at the level I've been performing all my life. I still can dance and jump up and down second line and scream and holler and hit the high notes and low notes. So I'm just thrilled that I'm still able to do it. And there's just so many, you know, memories I have from the Jazz Fest itself, you know. Oh, God.
Did anything ever crazy happen? Yeah, share a story with us.
Oh, yeah, something crazy happened. I was the cause of the Jazz Festival getting more insurance for the performers on stage.
What happened?
I was dancing around the speakers that were on the stage, and one of them fell down and almost hit a patron that was at the Jazz Fest in front of the stage.
Wow.
I just kept dancing, and oops, I hit a speaker, and it fell out.
And they thought, okay, we better up on insurance.
Nobody was injured, you know, but, you know, the Jazz Fest said, hey, you can't leave the stage while you're performing.
Oh, wow. No, but it's just I think it's just so incredible that you're still performing at this level. And again, I still admire your voice, and you still hit those high notes, and you're still so into it. And you know, I often talk about, you know, Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney still performing today, and so many people still
I'm older than them.
Well, I know, but you know, if you're young and you basically take care of yourself, you know, you can have a great life later. I mean, you're having fun now.
Yeah, well, Dizzy Gillespie told me a long time ago. He said, look, just keep your health up. He said, because the name of the game is you have to outlive the competition. He said, and we can have all the gigs. Who are you going to call now?
That's awesome. Deacon John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I just want to remind everybody that tomorrow at 2:45, you're in the Blues Tent. And I know it's going to be a great show, and I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and come by and see you, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us.
I have my big 17-piece orchestra.
Wow. That's awesome.
So it's going to be a show you won't want to miss.
All right. Deacon John.
I'll be doing it all.
It's always, stay away from the speakers.
No, I know better now.
All right. Deacon, it's always great to talk to you, and God bless
you. Always a pleasure.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Deacon John tomorrow, Blues Tent, 2:45. That'll be fun. I know many of you listening remember Deacon John from your prom or from the Sands or from different places where he played when you were younger. All right, so let's get back to this this topic of 95% of single women, according to this professional dating coach, want men to approach them. And it's not easy to meet people. Because I do think people generally have a guard up, especially attractive women. But women in general have a guard up because of how they're, you know, approached by men. We're also talking about really corny, bad pickup lines. But when it comes to the dating sites, what's the best way to navigate that? If you've done that, what advice do you have? If you've got a comment on any of this, the Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Rouse in New Orleans. Rouse, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. My name is Ralph. I live in New Orleans. I worked at Mishu when they was building the rocket for the Go to the Moon.
Yeah.
So I tell a lot of my friends that I helped put men on the moon, because when I worked at Mishu for the Boeing company, I was an expediter. And I would go to different places, different offices, and like one of the buildings was a 350 building, and they had some ladies sitting at their desk. And one time, out of the blue, I just went up to the lady. I said, good evening. Where's the magazine? She said, what are you talking about? The magazine you stepped out of, the Cosmopolitan.
Now, did that work?
She just kind of looked surprised, but I'm just like you. I was real shy, so I didn't know what else to say after that. But I just wanted to tell you, because I just come out of the blue. I said it, you know. But it was great though. I listen to you all the time, and I thought I'd call in and tell you that. I
appreciate that, Russ. Do you think 95% of single women want men to approach them?
I don't think so, because I mean, seem like the women, you know. Only if they kind of show they want, you know, most women, they just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
It's obvious. If you can tell if a woman wants to be talked to, you can tell. So I'd say 95% don't want to, the 5% do, then they'll show that they do want to be talked to.
I think so. That was an interesting line though. Ross, I appreciate the call. A lot of women, I see it when I go, a lot of single women, a lot of attractive single women go to the gay bars in the quarter because they feel safe in there. They can go dance and have fun, and guys aren't going to hit on them. I mean, a couple of lesbians might, but guys aren't going to hit on them. So they feel safe haven in there, especially like the Bourbon Pub, for example, on a Sunday afternoon. They play great videos, like from the 70s and 80s. I think they still do it. I mean, I haven't gone in a while, but I used to go every Sunday. And I would always see a lot of straight women in there, and they just enjoy the atmosphere. All right, we're going to come back and go to some of your text messages. But, you know, I think this is interesting because, you know, there are a lot of people who are divorced, they're single, A lot of people have had their kids grow up and they're older. And a lot of the boomers, you know, remember a time when, man, we partied. You know, confetti was open, Senor Frogs, which was, confetti turned into, I forget whether it was Senor Frogs first or confetti's first, but one or the other. I mean, it was the club was named both of those things. The Park was a great place to party. Fairman's was a great place to party. And there was this like a triangle in Metairie. And you could just rotate from those places. There were a few times that I went out to happy hour, and I ended up going straight to the radio station the next morning. I mean, I never even made it home. And I was in the same clothes, little disheveled, but I made it into the station to do the show. So sometimes when you were listening to me back in the day, man, I might have just come in from being out all night. You know, I didn't do that often, but I mean, once in a while, you know, you'd meet somebody and the night continued. But again, I was really shy. And if I had not been in the position that I was in professionally, I don't know that I would have nearly met the women that I met. All right, if you've got a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 2006, Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards was released from the hospital in New Zealand. He was 62 years old at the time. He suffered a mild concussion after he fell out of a coconut tree. He was on holiday in Fiji, and he somehow managed to climb a coconut tree, fell out of the tree, suffered a mild concussion. He was airlifted to the Auckland Ascot Hospital for observation, where he underwent a brain scan. I don't know what they found when they went into his brain and did the brain scan, but anyway, Keith Richards was okay, but I just think it's fascinating that he managed to climb an oak tree, I mean, climb a coconut tree and fall out of it. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. This is WWL. In 2003, the Dixie Chicks were on top. Now, they're just called the Chicks now because of the word Dixie, but in 2003, they were the Dixie Chicks. They had a hit single with the cover of this song, Landslide, the Fleetwood Mac song. It's a great song, but the Dixie Chicks were rolling in 2003. On this day in 2003, they appeared naked on the front page of, well, the cover of Entertainment Weekly. The slogans, Traitors, Hero, Boycott, Saddam's Angels, Proud Americans, were printed across their bodies covering up the vitals. And this was all in response to Natalie Maines and her anti-George W. Bush comments early in the war on terror. When the war on terror began, they were in concert in London, and Natalie Maines said, just so you know, she said this to the London audience, just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We don't want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas. And George W. Bush was president at the time. This led to a lot of boycotts of the Dixie Chicks, now the Chicks. Many radio stations banned their songs, and a lot of people were very, very critical. I was very, very much in tune with that and talked about it at the time. Later, Natalie Maines clarified her statement on the website, saying that they're against war. They're not against the U.S. troops. But still, it really did damage their career a lot when she made that comment. And, you know, you can think what you want about that, and everybody's entitled to that opinion. But that was not the right time, and it was not the right setting for her to say that. So she was wrong in doing that in the beginning, even though, you know, some people agreed with her. But that was a, you know, big impact on the Chicks. Let's go to Bogalusa and Artie. You're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a faucet. I used to tend bar on Bourbon Street as your father's mustache.
Okay.
You said earlier, a lot of women would go to the gay bars so they wouldn't get hit on.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And the best music were at the gay bars. So I'd get off late and I'd go down there and ask them if they wanted to dance. And then inevitably they would ask the question, are you gay? And I would say, I don't have any of my favorite body parts. And as a matter of fact, I met my first wife, well, my wife there. She's dead now, but I met my wife there.
Really?
So, yeah. So I agree. A lot of women go to those places to not get hit on, but
no, it's true. You know,
back a long time ago, that was the best music, best sound systems in New Orleans with the gay bar.
You know, Artie, I used to go all the time. You know, my wife and I would go there, and when disco first started in the mid 70s. The gay bars had the newest disco music, the best stuff that before it was even played on the radio, they had the best stuff. And you know, nobody thought, you know, baby boomers didn't even think twice about going to gay bars back then. But now you go to a gay bar and people say, are you gay? No, I'm not gay. There's an atmosphere here. There's great music. They're fun people. And, you know, I mean, gays have their own gaydar. And, you know, if you're not gay, most gays can pick up on that, and they're not going to hit on you. So it's, you know, it's not what a lot of people think. But, man, for you younger generations, you need to know that baby boomers used to constantly go to gay bars and had fun. And I thought about this, you know, years ago. Why have so many people changed? Oh, you can't go to a gay bar. You're at a gay bar. Are you gay? Well, no, I haven't changed. I'm still the same. I'm still the same Scoot that I was a long time ago. The problem is a lot of people have changed. And maybe they judge me differently today because they've changed. I haven't changed. I'm the same person. And yes, I still go to gay bars. I mean, I don't go all the time, but I don't have a problem going to gay bars because they're fun. And I don't know what you think happens there, but for the most part, I mean, like the big popular gay bars like Oz, which years ago used to be Pete's, Oz and the Bourbon Pub and the Parade upstairs. Man, fun places to dance. And I just don't have any problem going, but a lot of people have changed. It's interesting that Artie met his wife at a gay bar. Now, I don't want to send a bunch of men to gay bars thinking they can pick up women, because I want that to still be a safe haven for straight women who go to gay bars because they like it because they don't get hit on. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages about dating.
Well, here's a text that says, is it really a gay bar if the straights are going there now?
Yeah, so it's predominantly a gay bar. I mean, they cater to a gay audience, and so it's a gay bar because they cater to a gay audience, but everybody is welcome. I mean, everybody's, you know, I a couple of times people have said something to me. I had one guy once, he came to me and he said, you're Scoot, right? I said, yeah. He said, are you gay? And I said, no. He said, could you be for a little while? And I said, no, I can't. I'm not gay. I mean, I took it as a compliment. It wasn't aggressive. It was a compliment, but no, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And then he left. But man, again, I find it so hypocritical that so many baby boomers today are so judgmental of people who go to gay bars when that generation was filling up the gay bars when disco was happening back in the 70s.
Here's a text that says, and when you're trying to meet people, here's a text that says, I've always just kept it simple. I say, hello, tell me something fun or interesting that you've done this week. The key is to stay away from yes or no answers.
Yeah, I guess so, because it would be, you know, it could be very dry if you get a yes or no answer.
Here's a text that says, never try to pick up the hottest woman in the room. Other women are just as interesting and fun, and sometimes it'll get the hottest woman jealous, and then she'll try to pick you up.
That's interesting.
I don't
you know, but I don't know if that happens, but it's an interesting philosophy. But, you know, look, it's true that, look, to me, if the most attractive woman is into herself, if she's conceited, if you can tell that she's into herself, she is so unattractive to me that other women that some might consider less attractive might have a better personality, might have intelligence. That's more important to me.
Here's a text from James on the North Shore. He says that the main thing women want is a confident man. He doesn't have to be the richest man, but he has to be confident in the way that he carries himself.
That is so true. And for you guys who have lost your hair, don't be unconfident. Women don't care if you have hair. Women care if you're confident. And unfortunately, some people are not confident. And if you, I mean, there are so many people without hair that are so confident. Women love that. So, you know, just be confident. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. You know, I learned about 2 weeks ago that George Porter Jr. is a big fan of our show and listens every day. So, George, if you're listening, man, welcome to the show. I'm proud to have you listening. George Porter Jr. and the Runnin' Pardners Sunday are going to be a jazz fest on the Shell Gentilly stage at 2:35 in the afternoon. George Porter Jr. George Porter Jr., really an amazing artist. This is Boots in Place. Shell Gentilly stage, 2:35 Sunday afternoon. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1989, a jewelry store called the police on Michael Jackson. On this day in 1989, Michael Jackson was wearing a wig and a fake mustache. He entered Zales Jewelry in Simi Valley, California. Security guards thought this was really suspicious, and they called in the cops. The cops showed up and realized it was just Michael Jackson wearing a disguise. I'm Scoot. Coming up in the next hour, I want to share with you some updated news on Journey singer Steve Perry. Steve Perry has basically been invisible since he left Journey, and they've got a new singer from the Philippines. I've seen them with this singer. The guy is great, sounds just like Steve Perry, but it's not Steve Perry. But Steve Perry was in his 30s when he was really, you know, popular with Journey. Now he's 76 years old, and some people say he's unrecognizable. But Steve Perry has a new song out that he's done with a band. I'm going to share all of that with you coming up in the next hour. I'm Scoot. It's Free for All Friday on WWL.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.